Time out, kids. Before you leave, we need as many people in here as possible. Standing ovation for the band and the album that they just released on Friday. Come on. Come on. Love y'all. This crew, everybody in the band, y'all did amazing. We're so proud of you. Come on. So you've heard it. Oh, it's good. That's my wife. Let's go. All right, count of three. Shout your top three favorite songs. One, two, three. Oh, man. Out of all of them that are equally best, the ones my wife sings are the best of the best. Of course. Go ahead and take out your Bibles and something you can take notes with this morning. If you have no idea what just happened, our team just put out our first album, and they actually win the Grammy for the best album to ever come out of this church. Came out Friday, and it's on the internet, so you can listen to it. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read out of that this morning as we get started. It is good to be at church. I like being with you people.
We like you too.
Thank you. All right, we are wrapping up our Holy series this morning on Palm Sunday. Shout out to Patrick Poor for the Palm Sunday shirt.
Let's go.
Love that. Setting the tone early. I like it. I've been hearing that at March Madness games. I'm just kidding. I haven't watched a March Madness game. Anyways, we are finishing up our Holy series this morning. We have been taking this Lent series as we lead up to Easter and prepare our hearts for Easter, discussing what it means to be and look like and live like holy people. And I'm going to start off this morning by reviewing some definitions. Maybe you've been here and you like the review. Maybe you haven't been here and the review will be helpful for you. What we're discussing is a handful of different things. The first thing is that there's this theological word called justification. We believe that we are justified by faith. What justification is justification is God declaring you holy. That's what happens when you come to Jesus, you surrender your life to him, and you are born again. The grace of God declares that you are no longer a sinner. You are holy. You are set apart for God. But then there is the process that we are all living out, which is sanctification. God declares us holy, but how many of you know you don't always act like it? I do, but you don't. We're all being sanctified. We are all growing in holiness. The process is God growing us in his holiness that he has given us. We have been unpacking over the course of this series the process of repentance, which is our participation in the holiness of God. So God justifies us, God is sanctifying us, and a lifestyle of repentance is us participating with God as he grows us in his holiness. And we've been talking about the elements of repentance, what we ought to expect from our lives as we are people who are living out repentance, who are living out what it means to be holy people. So what is holy? Holy, David Campbell gave us a great working definition out of this. What do we mean by saying we're holy? Does that mean we're always acting perfectly? Does that mean we behave perfectly once we pray a prayer? No, that's why we need sanctification. That's why we need repentance. What it means is that God gives us his holiness. He declares us holy. We are dead to sin and we are alive to God. That's not just a behavior that we live out. It's a status. It's an identity. God has told us and declared over us and by his grace made true for us. We are dead to sin and we are alive to Christ and we are growing in that reality. We are growing in being dead to sin and living alive to Christ. So what are the elements of repentance that we have talked about thus far? We have talked about conviction, the merciful conviction of God as he starts off this repentance journey that we are on and convinces us that we are wrong when we are in sin. That's the first step of repenting, is you have to understand you're wrong and God is right, which is just always the case. God's always right. So you're only right if you're in his right. You know what I mean? Then there's contrition, which is a gift from God to break us and give us a godly sorrow for our wrong, for our sin. That is not something meant to only crush us, though it does crush us, so that we don't go back to the wrong that we've been doing. It is the mercy of God. He gives us a broken and contrite heart, and that should lead us to confession, where we confess that we are wrong, and we humble ourselves to God and to other people. And last week we talked about repentance, whereas we actually change. We actually have been going one way, and repentance now means I've been convicted and I have become contrite and I have confessed, but now I'm actually living a new way. I'm repenting. So the last part we're talking about this morning in this series is restitution. Conviction, contrition, confession, repentance, and restitution. Restitution. And let's remember what we're talking about in all of this is not just being better, behaving better. God is taking us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of life. We are participating with God as he takes us from death to life, from old to new, from orphan to adopted, from unholy to holy. Amen? That's the prize. That's the reward that God is giving us in this lifestyle of participating with him in his holiness. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 11 through 21. Okay. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. That's a discussion about holy, right? Holy isn't just an outward appearance. It's about what God does in us on the inside. But we've been discussing that although holiness is not simply behavior, it does result in behavior. So there's an inner thing that results in an outer thing, but we're not boasting in our outward appearance. We're boasting in what God does in the heart. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
All right. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. See, dead to sin and alive to Christ. No longer living for ourselves, but living for him. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You see in the theme here where that holy means you're new. You're not a better version of the old self, you're new. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Are you making yourself holy?
No,
praise the Lord. That ain't gonna work anyways. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become holy. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your word that is living and active. Thank you for the hope that we have because of your presence and because of your living word. We invite you, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us? We come to you in humility and in our weakness this morning, knowing that we need you and we are hungry for you, Lord. We're hungry for your word. And where we aren't, would you just help us be hungry in your grace? We invite you and ask that you would come and shape us, train us, rebuke us, encourage us, exhort us, divide what needs to be divided, build us up in you, unify us in you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You go ahead and take a seat. Restitution. Restitution. What are we talking about? As you can see from the beginning of the message, we're trying to do a good job this series of getting some clear definitions of what exactly is it that we're talking about here. A lot of these words can be somewhat loaded words that mean maybe different things to different people. So as we talk this morning about being a holy people who walk out repentance and therefore make restitution, what are we talking about? So we turn to dictionary.com. What is restitution? Restitution is the act of giving back something that has been lost or stolen. The act of giving back something that has been lost or stolen. As we talk about the process of repentance, being a repentant people, being an individual who lives out repentance, we need to be individuals and people who make restitution. It's a word, some similar words would be words like restoration. We make restoration. We make repair. We rebuild. We replace. We return. 2 Corinthians 5 leans in on this word about reconciliation. Reconciliation. We have to be committed to this as a people and participate in the holiness of God. Right? And part of the holiness of God is that he brings restitution. Matthew 3, verse 8, we read last week as we were talking about repentance. And John the Baptist said this to some of the people that were in the crowd. He said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, I didn't write it down, so put it up there for me. There it is. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Last week, we talked about the process that we're in here. Okay, so I'm going the wrong way. God convicts me that I'm wrong. I'm not stopped yet, even though I know I'm wrong, until he breaks me and my pride and gives me contrition. And there is this brokenness that comes in contrition that actually helps me stop going down the wrong path. Because I'm not just convinced I'm wrong. Now I'm actually sad that I'm wrong. And that helps me stop. And I make confession to get healed and set free from the bondage of being in the wrong way. And now I repent. I turn around to go in the other direction. But that isn't just a one-time momentary thing. Now I need to bear fruit in keeping with that repentance. I need to have something that shows and participates in the new right that I'm now walking in that has replaced the old wrong that I was walking in. Are you tracking with me? Restitution is the outward manifestation of repentance. Because like, again, we've said, holiness isn't simply a behavior, but it does include behavior. Repentance isn't just an I'm sorry, isn't just an I will change, it's an actual change, and change looks like something. Change looks like something. It is the outward fruit of repentance. That is why making restitution is part of being a holy person, being a holy people. So where do we see restitution as part of the holiness of God, the right order of God? as a revelation of God? Where do we see restitution as something that his people ought to participate in as they reflect his image to the world around them? We see it all through the New Testament. You could look specifically at through the Levitical law in Leviticus 5 through 7. You'll see different things about, hey, if you catch a thief who stole something, yes, the thief needs to be punished, including the thing he stole needs to be given back. Sometimes this needs to be given back with interest or different things like that. Through Exodus, Ezekiel, Numbers, Proverbs, 2 Samuel, you see God commanding his people not just to not do wrong, but when they do wrong, make it right. Make it right. Part of your turning from the wrong thing you have done is making the wrong thing you did right. And this idea, this principle is not abolished in the New Testament, but we see it continued and expanded on. The way we see it most expanded on in the New Testament is slightly different than the Old Testament. There's a bunch of practical examples in the Old Testament, like I was just saying. A guy steals this thing, he needs to give that thing back. Talking about this physical thing that happened. Or if you lose somebody's ox, you need to get them a new one. Make it right. I mean, hey, that's right. In the New Testament, the truth and the reality of reconciliation is more discussed and expanded on in what we were reading in 2 Corinthians 5. It's talking about reconciliation, that we ought to be a people who are reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. So the Old Testament laws oftentimes are working out the social impact and the social reality of restitution, whereas in the New Testament, maybe we get more expansion on the spiritual practice of restitution with God and with one another. What we see is that sin is wrong. Are we all bought into that yet? Sin is wrong and God is right. It's kind of a first principle of the kingdom of God. Sin is wrong. And it is wrong because when we sin against God. We sin against God. So everything we've been talking about is this interaction with God. He convicts us. We are contrite before God. We confess to God. We repent to the ways of God. So we do sin against God, but the reality is that very little, if any, sin is only ever against God. Almost all, if not all, sin is also sin against people. So true repentance involves participating with God as he makes things right between me and him. And he just gives grace for that. Amen. He just gives us grace. I need to make things right with God, but he makes them right for me, and I participate with him as he does what I should do, but I can't do. Yeah. Right? That's how it works with God. True repentance means I need to participate with God as he makes things right between me and him. So I'm participating with him in his grace, not just that he forgave me, but the grace that when I repent, I can now live out his holiness. That was kind of the big rant I was going on last week, remember, at the end there? We're not just trying to not sin. Now we get to live holy. That's restitution. God brings restitution. He gives me a new life to live, and now I offer that back to him. That is how I make things right with God, by his grace. But true repentance also means that I make things right with people, with those who I have sinned against. Because again, very rarely have I only sinned against God. When we sin against people, we need to make things right. So why do we make restitution? Why do we do this? We do it because we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and because we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we sin, we not only break or steal or take something physically, but when we sin against somebody, we break or steal or injure relationship. And God reconciles So this is why the gospel is a ministry of reconciliation. We're not only reconciled to God, but the grace of God helps us and calls us and gives us ability to be reconciled with one another. And God reconciles us to himself by grace through faith. That's that justification that we're talking about. And he sanctifies us. He grows us in that reconciliation as we go through repentance for our daily and continued sins. Because again, he made us holy, but we still sin. And so he's sanctifying us in that journey as we grow in that holiness. We walk in and grow in relationship with him as we walk out repentance. So as you're sitting here thinking, how do I make restitution with God? How do I make things right? I make things right by not just stop disobeying, but continue walking out obeying. I walk in relationship with him. And again, he does all of it. Jesus bears fruit in us as we abide in him, right? We started the year at John 15. There's a great song and this amazing global album called Abide. And Jesus says, you know, abide in me and you will bear fruit. Just come to me and he does the whole thing, you know, like a vine and a branch, right? So we abide in Christ by him restoring relationship, by giving us the grace to repent from sin. Are we getting the point that God does it? And it's just his mercy and his grace. So we are returning ourselves to him because he's given us grace to return ourselves to him. He says, right, draw near to the throne of grace, right? So not so that you can find out how strong you are because you made it to the throne of grace. You know, come to the throne of grace so that you can receive help and grace and mercy in your time of need. That's how we come to the throne of grace. We give ourselves back to him, and we make restitution with God when we give ourselves back to him. When we sin, we break relationship with God. We steal ourselves away from walking in him, and we give ourselves to something else. So when I repent, I'm giving myself back to Jesus, offering myself back to him. And we do that, why? Because as 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. I give myself back to him because I love him, and I love him because he first loved me. That's why I make restitution with God in returning myself back to him. But then that means we also make restitution with others. 1 John 4 continues. 4:19 is we love because he first loved us. 4:19 says, if anyone says I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. How is it that I can make restitution with God if I'm not willing to make restitution with the one I can see, the person I've sinned against? We make restitution because Jesus said, freely you have received, now freely give. We make restitution when we truly understand the grace of God. When we truly understand the wrongness of our sin. When we are truly broken under the reality of the sorrow of sin. And we experience the grace of Jesus and his healing when we confess. And we walk in the freedom of his grace and his mercy as we turn away from being slaves to sin and now live as slaves of righteousness. It brings a humility. It brings a love. It brings a tenderness and a softness. When we understand, I have freely received restoration. Freely I will give it. Freely I will give this restoration, this grace. We make restitution with God because he first loved us. We make restitution with others because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are called to unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. We are called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And God has made peace with us by the blood of his cross. His free gift of grace has justified us and is sanctifying us. His free grace has reconciled us to him. And as we have received his reconciliation, we should freely give that reconciliation to one another. We should show love by offering restitution to those we sin against. We make restitution because we love our brother, because we love our sister. Sin is against God and it's against your neighbor. And when you sin, you need to get right with God, who you have sinned against, and you need to get right with the people whom you have sinned against. Restitution is the bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. It is part of practicing the ministry of reconciliation. Restitution is participation in justice. Participation in the justice of God. I am participating with God as he makes things right. So for example, when Esme took Rose's toy the other day, I didn't just tell her to apologize and then walk away with the toy still in her hands. She had to give it back. She had to give it back. She took it and she needed to make it right. She needed to return what was lost, or in this case, maybe what was stolen. So how do we live this out? When we sin against God, we need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And as I've said, restitution means returning ourselves to him, because we have become lost, we have been stolen, and we need to return back to him. We need to change from walking away from him to walking with and towards him. And we do that in his grace. And again, almost if not always, when we sin against God, we also sin against another person. Making restitution means we have to accept whatever discomfort may come with that truth. That when we sin, which we've all said we do, we sin against another person. We could go through the list of the seven deadly sins that we've been talking about over this series that kind of help us understand this. You know, lust at least involves the person you're lusting over, and then also, if not, the people you're supposed to have your purity committed to. So it's not just a personal thing. It's not just a hidden thing, however alone you might have been in your heart or in practice. You know, gluttony affects the people in your life, the people that you're responsible for, responsible to. Your addictions impact other people, right? Greed often results in compromised relationships, doesn't it? It results in shady practices, a lack of presence with those around you. You are often posturing and positioning in relationships in order to leverage this so that you can get as much gain as possible out of it. There's a cost to that. You're often dreaming of being somewhere else, getting something else, rather than being present with the people in your lives. In sloth, you are supposed to be bearing fruit, and that fruit of the kingdom that you bear is supposed to be a benefit to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You are supposed to be a member of a body. And when you thrive, the rest of the body is supposed to thrive. And so apathy and stagnation in that sense has a cost to those around you. It matters to those around you that you are diligent and that you walk in holiness. And when you don't, it does impact them. Envy. Envy steals love. It steals joy. It steals encouragement. It steals encouragement from those around you. Instead of celebrating, lifting up, and elevating and making great those around you, you're stuck in envy, which steals. And wrath. Wrath puts fear instead of safety into your environment and into your relationships. And pride makes you a fool because it opposes the fear of God. And that is the beginning of wisdom. And that matters. Living like a fool impacts the people around you. Lying, stealing, cheating, injuring, manipulating, these are not just sins against God. They are also sins against God because they are sins against other people. And holiness looks like making things right if you've made something wrong. This is what we see in Zacchaeus when he says, I'm going to give everything back in some interest. Whether that was perfectly practically possible or not, he got it. He got it. He got it that he had done wrong, and he wasn't just sorry for that. He knew that holiness had gripped his heart, and holiness meant making it right as best as he could. So when there is physical impact of your sin, it is right that you pursue in making restitution for it. If I steal $10 from you, even if you forgive me, I need to give you the $10 back. Amen? If not, maybe I'll just come steal from you. I need to give it back, and that is me acting out my repentance. And me giving it back is going to be prerequisite, is it not, for you and me reconciling relationally. Yeah. It's going to be pretty tough if I'm like, man, I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? And you're like, yeah, I forgive you. And I'm like, sweet, let's be friends. And I'm like, well, us being friends starts with you giving me my $10 back. When you sin against someone, you don't just do the thing that is wrong. You break relationship with the person you sin against. When I steal your $10, I didn't just take your $10. I broke our relationship. I stole the relationship. There was relationship that was lost. And as individuals, we need to understand that the wages of sin is death. And when you sin against someone, it sows death into that relationship. And when you experience that reality, when you experience the reality of the death, that the consequence for your sin, when you experience some death of relationship with someone that you sin against, it's not because that other person won't forgive you. It's not because that other person's not being gracious enough. It's because you sowed sin and death into the relationship. And you need to accept that, and you need to take responsibility for making restitution for that. You need to take responsibility for repairing what you broke and rebuilding what you lost or what you tore down. There is restitution regarding the money that maybe I stole from you. I need to get right with God, but getting right with God includes me getting right with you. And me getting right with you includes me starting with giving you your $10 back. Because if I don't return that $10, am I really convicted? How can I, in honest contrition, keep and spend your $10? You know, it's not like, oh, no, we just forgive and all that stuff. No, bear some fruit in keeping with repentance. Don't say you're sorry and keep it, Andrew. Come on, you know, that's totally real and fair. So what I'm saying is that you as the person who sins against somebody, we as people who sin against somebody, part of us being a holy people is understanding that we did sin against somebody. And we need to make that right. That's on me to make it right with you when I sin against you. And you, as the person sinned against, this includes you too, doesn't it? This is hard. As the person sinned against, you need to navigate forgiveness. That's like, that. Is that a good word? Navigate. That's a little tough one, isn't it? Like, ugh. So we're all people who sin against other people, and we're also all people against whom others sin. So let's talk about that category for a second. When you get sinned against, you need to navigate forgiveness. And we need to understand that you're not navigating forgiveness simply for the sake of the person who sinned against you. You need to forgive for you. So let's go back to me stealing from you. Me being sorry isn't a prerequisite for you forgiving me before God. Because you forgiving me isn't about me. It's about you and your freedom before God. Because he has taught us to pray, forgive me my sins, as I forgive those who sinned against me. So in that sense, you need to navigate forgiveness for you before God, and you can do that whether I'm sorry or not. Just in terms of forgiveness. And that deals with your heart before God about the $10, but it doesn't necessarily deal with the broken relationship between you and me. If I steal the $10 from you and return it to you, I have made restitution for the $10, but me returning the $10 doesn't necessarily restore the trust that I broke. Right? There's other things we need to rebuild here. The $10 was it, but it's not all of it. And even if you forgive me, that doesn't mean that you trust me. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you have to trust them. You don't, in that scenario, you don't owe me your trust just because you forgive me. And in fact, you may be a fool if you give me your trust again too soon. So when people sin against you, have we felt these things before? It's like, I forgive, but I'm still mad and stuff and don't want to be around you. Like, am I bad? How do we, Lord? It's like, they gave me the $10 back, but I still don't like them. Am I the bad guy? No, you need to forgive before God, but I need to take responsibility for making restitution in our relationship. And that's a separate issue. So as a person who gets sinned against, it's okay to need to see and experience relationally conviction, contrition, confession, repentance, and restitution from the person who has sinned against you in order to restore relationship and move that relationship forward. That's okay. You forgive as you have been forgiven because God freely forgave you, so you're going to freely forgive. But forgiveness is not reconciliation. It is required for reconciliation, but it's not the whole thing. Forgiveness, when I forgive somebody who sins against me, it means I'm giving up my position of power to lord over this offense, or to lord this offense over that person. But forgiving is not forgetting. That doesn't mean I just forget that it ever happened and we get to move on like nothing ever happened. Reconciliation is a process and it does involve restitution. It involves the one who committed the wrong making some things right. So if you have sinned against somebody and you have made the $10 right, but you're still in the process of making the relationship right, you need to have enough humility to make space for that. Just because somebody needs relational restitution, it doesn't mean that they're enslaving you or bossing you around, because they need to deal with their forgiveness to get rid of that control piece. But there has to be room in relationship for honesty when it comes to reconciliation. And it's okay to be honest as somebody who has sinned against. To need restitution in relationship simply means recognizing you need the other person to recognize what they broke. They broke it, and it's okay to need to see a repentant heart that works itself out in a humble commitment to make that thing right that they made wrong. That's okay. Not you've got to deal with your heart before God that you're not doing that out of bitterness and vengeance. It's just honesty. It's just honesty. It's just being honest about things relationally, specifically when we have to do it. If you actually want to move forward, if you actually want the relationship back, skipping over it doesn't solve the issue. Doesn't make the brokenness go away. There has to actually be repair and healing. And sometimes that means rebuke, discipline, time, effort, fruit, all kinds of things. So if you have sinned against somebody and you want relationship back with that person, yes, that person needs to forgive you, but you need to take the responsibility to make restitution relationally. You need to love God humbly by receiving his grace and mercy, and you need to love your neighbor by taking ownership to restore what was broken or lost or stolen in that relationship. as best as it is for you, as best as you can do. This works out in marriage, in friendship, in parenting, in all of our different relationships. We've got to be honest about where we're really at relationally, not just move on from the physical things that get broken when they're sin. So this is kind of heavy. You feeling it? But this is the mercy and the grace of God, that he gives us the opportunity in his grace to live lifestyles of making repair and reconciling things that are broken. Because things will never be perfect. You're never going to be that perfect person that never sins against somebody. And no one else in your life is ever going to be that perfect person who never sins against you. But that doesn't mean we're just destined to a life of brokenness. This is the opportunity and the invitation that God gives to live a lifestyle of healing and repair and restoration. I said last week that we needed to get a new vision for our lives if we're going to live out repentance. We need to get a new vision for our lives if we're going to live out restitution. Sometimes we buy a false bill of goods when we just dream of a relationship with our kids where neither one of us ever does anything wrong, and that's when we'll have a perfect relationship. We dream about perfect relationships with our friends where everybody's the perfect friend to me and I'm the perfect friend to them. And as long as you're living for that vision, when you fail and when they fail, there will be no hope to move past that failure. But in the grace of God, restitution in his grace gives us a vision for something more beautiful than false perfection. And there's this picture that I want to show you. Go ahead and put it up. It's this Japanese art called kintsugi. Maybe you've heard of this before. And what it is, it's an artwork, it's an art form where they take things that are broken and basically glue it back together, but with gold dust. And so you take something that's broken, like in the bottom right, and it becomes something totally different and new from what it was before. And this is a picture of grace. I remember talking to I was being taught on some of this by these psychology PhD people, and they were saying about this whole false idea of perfection. They were specifically talking about parenting relationships. And they said that the psychological studies show that the strongest relationships between parents and children are not relationships where nothing wrong happens, because you can't study those relationships because they don't exist. The key to healthy relationship is not perfection. The key to healthy relationship is repair. The key to making the brokenness beautiful is not pretending it wasn't there, not moving on and just having a trail of brokenness behind you, but repenting, turning around in the grace of God and offering your brokenness to him, which oftentimes will look like humbly accepting your brokenness before somebody else and allowing the grace of God to make something new out of what has been broken, make something strong out of what has been broken, make something beautiful out of what has been broken. Restitution is not about shame and embarrassment and doing things in your own strength. It's not about proving something to God and proving something to other people. Restitution is about participating in the holiness of God. Restitution is the holy art of justice. It is the holy art of repair. It's the holy art of reconciliation. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a people for God's own possession. That's who we are, and we're all still growing in it. So when we sin, it doesn't mean we aren't holy. It means that because we are holy, we will embrace the Holy Spirit's conviction. We will ask him for brokenness and contrition. We will confess to God and to one another. We will walk out repentance. And we will make restitution. That's what it looks like to be brand new, to go from dead to alive, unholy to holy. I want you to stand as we end our time together. Our prayer team's gonna come forward if you need prayer for anything. Our team's gonna lead actually another new song. They're not done yet. They've been writing a song throughout this series, and you may just need to make space to allow the Lord to come and work in your heart as we finish this series together and prepare for Easter next Sunday. Whatever you need, get it in the Lord. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody else. Have somebody pray with you. But let us run with reckless abandon, with faith and hope in the grace of God, to be a holy people. Lord, would you come and lead us? Lead us in your holiness. Heal us and make us healers in your great grace. In Jesus' name.